Hello, I'm Ros Atkins. We're breaking free today with a multilingual World Cup Have Your Say team talk.
Und Sieger im Finale der
And the winner of the World Cup Championship final is
Spanien.
Pal the Octopus has had his say. Now it's your turn. And if, like Pal, you don't speak English, that's not a problem either. BBCWorldService.com is running Google's translation tool so we can all talk about the 2010 World Cup with more people than ever. We're going to be taking calls and comment on South Africa's hosting of the tournament, the quality of the play, the refereeing, the TV coverage, the vuvuzelas, and anything else you want to raise. Get all the details at worldhaveyoursay.com. And if football's not your thing, how do you feel at the prospect of another 4 years without the World Cup?
BBC News with David Legg. The US has announced that an elaborate spy swap with Russia, the biggest since the end of the Cold War, has been completed successfully. 10 Russian agents arrested in the US last month were flown to the Austrian capital Vienna in exchange for 4 people who'd been in jail in Russia. The swap took place at Vienna Airport before the 2 planes took off in opposite directions. The returning American plane has landed briefly at a military base in Britain. The Russian plane has now landed at an airport in Moscow, from where Rupert Wingfield Hayes sent this report.
At a little before 6 in the evening Moscow time, the Russian Emergency Ministry's aircraft glided gently to ground at Moscow's Domodedovo Airport. The plane could be seen taxiing to a remote spot and the 10 passengers disembarking onto waiting buses. But even as the Russian spies arrive home, the Kremlin is still refusing to acknowledge the spy swap has even taken place. Perhaps it is trying to hide its own embarrassment at the discovery of its spy ring in the United States. It's very unclear what will now happen to the 10 Russians. First, there will almost certainly be a lengthy debriefing, and Moscow has reportedly promised them incomes and housing and to assist in bringing their 8 American-born children to Russia.
The United Nations Security Council has unanimously condemned the attack that caused a South Korean warship, the Chunnan, to sink earlier this year. But the statement, drafted by the United States, stopped short of naming North Korea, despite an international inquiry which found the communist country was to blame. 46 sailors died in the attack. Kim Guttas in New York has more.
The Security Council's presidential statement on the Chunnan incident is a clever diplomatic compromise. The UN has now addressed the attack, and the statement does use the word attack, but it's avoided a further escalation with Pyongyang. The carefully worded statement and the fact it was a presidential statement, not a binding resolution, also meant that China was kept on board. Beijing would have vetoed any resolution condemning its ally. Washington and especially Seoul were initially hoping for stronger action at the UN. But the US ambassador to the UN, Susan Rice, insisted that the message to North Korea was crystal clear.
Google says China has renewed its operating license in an apparent compromise following a bitter row. Google had angered the Chinese leadership earlier this year by threatening to pull out over hacking and censorship. The company then began redirecting searches from the mainland to its uncensored Hong Kong page. However, it no longer automatically does that. A spokesman for Google, DJ Collins, told the BBC the company welcomed China's decision.
We're obviously very pleased that the government has renewed the license. We're looking forward to continuing to provide web search and other products to our users in China because we feel that it's really important that we continue to get unfiltered information in the hands of Chinese users.
World News from the BBC. Coffins containing the recently identified remains of 775 victims of the Srebrenica massacre have passed through the Bosnian capital Sarajevo, watched by several thousand people. The remains, found in mass graves, will be buried at Potočari near Srebrenica on Sunday, marking the 15th anniversary of the killings. The BBC has learned that football's world governing body FIFA was warned before this year's World Cup of fears Nigeria's team could be vulnerable to match fixing. An investigator from UEFA, European football's top body, raised concerns such as betting patterns. Nigeria went out of the tournament in the first round, losing to Greece. It's alleged certain Nigerian players came forward during qualifying, suggesting their team was vulnerable to manipulation. FIFA doesn't deny getting a warning, but said it's had no indication of match fixing in any World Cup matches. The Electoral Commission in Guinea says a runoff presidential election due to be held on the 18th of July has been postponed. Electoral officials said more time was needed for the Supreme Court to investigate allegations of fraud during the first election, which was held last month. The American pop singer Jennifer Lopez has called off a concert in northern Cyprus after protests from Greek Cypriots. Sean Fanning has more.
Latin and R&B diva Jennifer Lopez appears to have unwittingly got her fingers burned by the hot potato that is the Cyprus dispute. She faced a wave of criticism after nearly 20,000 people signed up to a Facebook campaign against the concert. Greek Cypriots said that by agreeing to sing at the luxury Kratos Premium Hotel in the self-declared Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus, she was recognising the partition of the island, divided since the Turkish invasion of 1974. A statement on her website says she and her advisers decided to cancel after a full review of the circumstances in Cyprus.
BBC News.
We've had the news from the BBC. Now it's our turn. Call us on country code 44 20 70 83 72 72. Welcome to World Have Your Say.
Hello, I'm Ros Atkins. Welcome to a multilingual World Have Your Say World Cup team talk. We're using Google's translation tool to connect football fans who speak English, Albanian, Arabic, Chinese, Persian, Portuguese, Spanish, Swahili, Vietnamese and Welsh. So 10 languages and unlimited subjects. Well, so long as it's about the World Cup. That said, if you're quite glad to see the end of the World Cup, you're also very welcome to share your feelings about it ending. And we're not averse to a call or two about LeBron as well, if that is what's getting you going.
If you don't want to make an international call, text us on country code 4477 86 20 60 80 and put call me in your message.
So any comment you have about the World Cup, you're very welcome to come on air and share it. We're going to be connecting English-speaking fans with people who speak 9 different other languages. So if you want to talk about the play, you want to talk about the refereeing, the way South Africa has hosted the tournament, the TV coverage, the TV commentary, anything else that you can think of, the Vuvuzelas, I expect, will come up as well. You're welcome onto today's programme. The number to call, country code 44 20 70 83 72 72. And we are aware there's another big sports story going on with LeBron James going to Miami Heat. If you want to talk about that, you're also welcome to come onto the air. In a moment, we're going to go to guests in Johannesburg and Pretoria. But first, Ben Sutherland from the World Have Your Say team is here to explain what's going on. So, Ben, what's going on?
Well, it's one of the most exciting things I think that we've ever done, certainly online, as part of World Cup Have Your Say. 10 languages, as you say, where people from across the world can talk about their experience of the World Cup, what they've enjoyed, the different aspects of it that they've really taken part in, and what they think have been the best players, the worst players, the fun parts of it. But it's across the languages, and it uses the Google Translate tool. So
if I was a Portuguese speaker and I went and posted in Portuguese, what happens then?
So if you post your comment in Portuguese, it gets displayed in any of the other 9 languages that we're using instantaneously. And then you can, if you're viewing that and say you're an Arabic speaker, you'll see that comment in Arabic. Mm-hmm. And you can then reply to that comment in Arabic if you wish. And that will then also get translated through. And your Portuguese person who's made the original comment will then be able to see in Portuguese what you've written in Arabic.
And if people go to worldhaveyousay.com, they can get the link and everything.
Exactly, they get the link and go straight through to it.
Lovely, but the wonders of technology don't allow you to be here in the studio with us. You have to go off to what we're calling the big moderation room, don't you?
The big moderation room in the sky, yes, yes. Exactly. Right. So I'm effectively your host for the duration of the next 2 hours, which is the length of time that we'll be running the tool for. And we're going to be obviously debating a number of topics. We've already got into things like who's been obviously the best player at the tournament, the subject that we discussed on World Cup Have Your Say this morning about should players be paid to represent their country or should it just be the honour of turning up, and there are lots of people with different opinions about that already getting in touch and through the message board.
Great stuff, Ben. I'll let you get going. Thank you very much indeed. We've got a whole legion of World Have Your Say producers here today because Krupa is looking after the messages that are coming in through this translation tool. Anything you want to bring in first, Krupa?
Sure. As Ben mentioned, we've been asking you for your player of the tournament. We've got Colin Wells, who obviously posted in Welsh, and he says, many deserve credit, especially Schneider, Schweinsteiger, Forlan and David Villa. Edmonds in Albania posted in Albanian and writes, we should not forget that Germany and Uruguay are playing for third and fourth place, and the best player in that will either be close Sosa or Müller of Germany or Forlan and Suarez of Uruguay.
Hold on, we can't ask for the best player of the tournament and have people listing,
well,
four,
done just that.
Listing four players. You've got to pick one. Go to worldhaveyoursay.com. Tell us your player of the tournament, not just a long list of the people who've been playing well. And if you don't want to post in English, then by all means use any of those other nine languages that are available. Okay, well, let's start the conversation as we ought to in South Africa. We can speak to Fernando Duarte, a Brazilian reporter for O Globo, who's in Johannesburg. Hi, Fernando. Great to speak to you.
Hello, guys. Good evening.
Hi. And first of all, we're going to speak to a gentleman called Tulani, who's in Pretoria. Hi, sir. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Le. How are you?
Hi. Well, I'm very well, but more to the point, how are you? Because I understand you've been to every single game, or almost every single game.
Yes. I've been on the... that other night was my 36th game. And now I'm waiting for two games left, tomorrow's game and the Sunday final game.
36 games, that's incredible. And this is all because you won a competition called Last Man Standing.
Yes, I've won the competition last year, ran by MTN, and I was called the Last Man Standing. You know, the prize was the anybody's dream, you know, to be in 38 FIFA World Cup games and to stand a chance to be in the Guinness World Record for the most games attended by the individual in the FIFA World Cup.
But do you feel as lucky now as you felt when you won? You're not getting bored of the games?
No, not at all. You know, I like soccer. You know, I
clearly
before World Cup, I've been eating, dreaming, sleeping soccer, so I'm enjoying myself right now.
Okay, and tell us, you've seen all these games, you've seen more games than any other person. Which has been the best game for you?
This game for me is a game between Argentina and Mexico in Soccer City. It was a knockout stage where Argentina beat Mexico 3-1. You know, I was happy to see like the fans. You know, I like to see the fans, you know, being packed at a stadium. So we were more than 84,000 fans at a stadium. And, you know, the teams also on their own, they didn't disappoint. They played very well. But then the best team of the day, Argentina, had to win the game that night.
And we remember that game very well because the first goal scored by Carlos Tevez was clearly offside, and it came just after that Frank Lampard goal, which was disallowed even though it had crossed the line. And that's what started all the chat about technology, which has been rolling throughout this tournament. If you're listening and want to talk about that issue, you're very welcome to come on air. Send us an email to worldhaveyoursay@bbc.com. Put your name and your phone number and one of the team will get back to you. Tulani, great to speak to you. Thank you very much indeed for joining us from Pretoria. Fernando, what about you? What's been the best game for you?
Well, I certainly didn't watch all those games. But, you know,
it's impressive, isn't it?
Well, this is very, very impressive. To be honest, I think this guy must be naked now. well, the best game I've seen. I'm going to say there was Holland and Brazil for the whole different outcomes in terms of emotions. I mean, we saw Brazil. I mean, I'm not saying that because I'm biased. I'm just saying that in the first half you saw a vintage Brazil performance, and all of a sudden you see the Dutch playing the comeback kings, which is not the kind of role they usually, you know, are known for in world football. So I would pick this one. I mean, from the games I've actually been to, I also liked Spain and Switzerland for the whole underdog, you know, pickpocketing one of the biggest favorites for the title. I've been a bit disappointed with the quality of football, but some of the games have made up for all the boredom that
But it's interesting
in
that you pick Spain. And you pick the Dutch beating the Brazilians 2-1, both exciting games, but not really classics. It does highlight the fact that this maybe hasn't been the greatest World Cup for play.
As I was saying, that from the games I've seen, definitely Germany and Argentina, Germany 4, and so that was an amazing game from a neutral point of view, from somebody who was watching. But I do think that in terms of quality of football, we were in for a kind of a disappointing World Cup. Having said that, I think this is pretty much the tone in world football these days. A lot of teams have too much at stake in the World Cup. They just don't want to lose. Unfortunately, the fear of a defeat takes your will to win, as you know, the famous book, The Art of the War, used to say.
All right, stay with us, Fernando. Krupa's looking after all of our messages coming in 10 different languages today. What have you got now?
Well, Paul in Germany posts on the subject of favourite players, and by the way, he makes clear that he's not Pal the Octopus. Of the finalists, Schneider and Iniesta are the best. The conversation's also moved on to players and their pay and their salaries, rather. Should players be paid for playing for their country? Antonio in Colombia writes, no, they shouldn't. Being able to appear and being well known is payment enough. And this from Israel in South Africa. It's very important to be paid well for doing well. Miguel's in Uruguay and posts in Spanish. According to the polls, the master technician Tabarez, that's Uruguay's manager, is the lowest paid in the World Cup. Payment is irrelevant to what is achieved at the World Cup.
Well, a man who's still very much interested in this tournament is Victor. He's a Spain fan who lives in London. Nice to see you again.
Hi there, nice to see you.
I introduced you this morning on the radio and you weren't there. I was told your voice had gone.
Yeah, it had. Yeah,
It's come back a bit, though.
It does. Yeah, it has.
And one of the things we were talking about was the fact that if Spain wins on Sunday, each player is going to be getting close to $1 million each.
Yeah.
Do you think that's fair?
I don't think that's right. I don't think they even need it. And I don't think they may even want it. They just want to lift the cup.
I expect they do want it. Yeah. I mean, you don't think so?
No, I don't think so. I think they just want to win it for their country, mm-hmm. really.
And what about your player of the tournament?
For me?
Yeah.
I agree with, for Holland, Schneider. For us, I think Busquets has been amazing. He's been underrated. And other than that, yeah, Villa, possibly.
All right, well, good to see you. Do chip in whenever you want. Let's speak to Morgan, who's in New York. Hi, Morgan.
Hi,
great to speak to you. What element of the World Cup would you like to talk about?
Oh, I'm not really sure. I was over in South Africa for the first 2 weeks of it, and I just returned back to New York. And, you know, the one thing that really surprised me was how friendly and great everything was in South Africa. Because, you know, I've been to games in Argentina and England, and I was worried there might be some hooligan element that just wasn't there. It was really just really safe and fun.
And I had a strange afternoon in Johannesburg, in Sandton, which is the wealthiest part of Johannesburg, in Nelson Mandela Square, with thousands of fans, many of whom were too scared to go anywhere else apart from this big shopping mall. Were you also worried about crime, and did you manage to get outside of the hotel and the shopping malls?
No, I got everywhere. It was actually my second trip to South Africa, so I knew that it was safe. I mean, I've been all over the world, and I think I was mostly in Cape Town, but I think Cape Town is one of the safest cities I've ever been in. So I didn't have that fear, and I traveled all over southern South Africa. I went to Port Elizabeth to see a match, and mm-hmm. everywhere I went, I felt safe.
Do you think that those who question South Africa's ability to do this need to start eating some humble pie?
Most definitely. You know, I saw no problems. It was just, I was really, really amazed. I was expecting, you know, with any event anywhere in the world, you're going to have problems. And it was the exact opposite. From everything from the fans to the police, mm-hmm. you know, I even got myself into a little trouble getting on the wrong train one night and finding myself in the middle of a dangerous township. Mm-hmm. And the police helped me out at 1 a.m, got me back home. It was a great experience all around.
And Morgan, let's be honest about this. There'll be some people listening to us on public radio and on Sirius in America thinking, I can't believe they're talking about football again. I'm just not interested. I want to talk about LeBron James and everything else that's going on in US sport. Do you think that you know, your team did well enough to get the country's attention this time?
You know, it's hard for me to say because I live in both New York and San Francisco, and it doesn't represent the USA that well. You know, it's hard to say. I heard that there were more tickets sold to U.S. people than any other country, which I guess we're a big country, so that might have something to do with it. But I think there's more and more people watching the sport. It's easier to watch Premier League games, and even I follow Boca Junior from Argentina, and I could see that now on our cable TV. So I think it's the start of it getting popular.
I think you're right. I also was told that there were more Americans following their team than fans of any other country. Morgan, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us from New York. Let's go from the States to Paraguay. We can speak to Liber. Nice to speak to you. Thanks for coming on to World Have Your Say.
Not a problem.
Now, I understand this is a bit complicated. You're an Australian with Paraguayan and Uruguayan parents. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah, I was born in Australia. a long time ago, and I lived there, well, still a moment, most of my life, and I've been in Paraguay for the past 13 years, and my father is from Uruguay.
So who do you support?
Australia.
Okay, well, that was probably the worst choice you could have made of your three options, but never, let's not talk about that. What issue in particular would you like to talk about with regards to the 2010 World Cup?
Refereeing? How does that sound?
That sounds good. What would you like to say about it?
I'm just shocked at how badly the refereeing has been and how, like, just how they've influenced, I think, a few games. As you probably know, England-Germany, and I think Spain versus Holland-Uruguay as well. Mm-hmm. Second goal, which Van Persie influenced. And there's been a lot of talk about the...
Lieber, I'm going to jump in here just because your line isn't great, but let me put your points to Fernando Duarte from O Globo, who's still with us from Johannesburg. Fernando, do you think Lieber is saying this too strongly to suggest that the refereeing has spoiled some of the games?
Oh, totally. I think it's absolutely right. What happened to England, for example, although there's a huge karma factor in that match, but Mexico could also complain about the Tevez goal. There were decisions that definitely altered some of the outcome of the games, and I think this is time for FIFA and international boards to seriously look to which extent technology can help this game. I just think the World Cup is something too big for us to be relying only on the classic model. Okay, mm-hmm. The referee making a human mistake is part of the game. I think it's we're past this now, and the sooner they recognize it, the better for the game. They want so much to be strong all around the world.
I wonder what you think about this, Victor, because it struck me that Sergio Ramos should have been sent off in the semi-final, and if the ref had got that right, you might not have such a big smile on your face.
Definitely, I mean, players are getting away with a lot. We could go back to Camdevila in the Portugal game as well. I mean, it didn't matter too much because it was last minute of the game. Players rolling around in the area and stuff. But... they do have to buck up their ideas. They have to sort something out, FIFA, whether it's refereeing or goal line technology, as in an infrared. I wouldn't go for the fact of stopping the game and actually having a TV screen and going, you know, or the fourth ref going towards it and having a look. That might not work, but infrared on the goal lines and fines for referees, you know.
Fines for referees?
Yep.
You're a hard man, Victor.
Yeah.
Mm. Money for the Spanish players, fines for the referees. All right. And you might have heard the BBC interview with Jerome Valk, the FIFA Secretary General, this week. He was suggesting that FIFA is quite prepared to look at technology. He seemed more enthusiastic, I thought, about the idea of extra refs rather than actually bringing in goal line technology. But he said FIFA was open to all of it. Okay. Thank you very much indeed to the caller who came on there from Paraguay. We didn't manage to clear up the line, I'm afraid. Let's bring in... Desiree Ellis, former South African. She's with us live from Johannesburg. Hi there, great to speak to you.
Hi there, good evening.
Hi, now you're almost there. South Africans have been building up to this for years and it's almost over. What's your overriding emotion about this World Cup?
It just went by so quickly. But I think it's been absolutely awesome. It's really, I know our former president Nelson Mandela has advocated many times that sport builds a nation, but this is beyond my wildest dreams. I just hope that the togetherness that we had and the unitedness that we had, we can take it forward and not only make South Africa a better country, but also make the African continent and grow from there to be a great continent as well.
But how exactly will this help South Africa build? Help us understand how it might impact someone listening to us in Soweto now or listening to us on the Cape Flats. How is it going to change their lives?
You know what has happened is that the people you see on the street, they wouldn't normally speak to each other. The people you see, they wouldn't normally sit next to each other. You'd find so many, I mean, the so-called whites are mostly into rugby. You've seen them at the stadium dressed in the South African flag, clothes that they've made dressed in the South African flag and hugging and kissing each other. And so it's really brought a lot of unitedness together. And people are greeting each other in the street like never before.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's a new country.
But do you think they'll still be doing this in 3 months' time? That's what I wonder.
Well, I'm hoping so. You know, the flags that the people have had on their cars and the shields that they've had on the mirrors, mm-hmm. I'm hoping that they don't take it off, that it actually disintegrates with the weather, with the rain, with the wind or whatever, that it disintegrates just to show that, you know, we're still a united country.
Very interesting to speak to you. Thank you very much for your time. That's Desiree Ellis, former South Africa women's football captain. If you're just joining us, we're having a free-for-all, really, on the World Cup as it approaches its end. And one of the reasons we're doing that, not just because the final's on Sunday, is that for one day only, we're hooking up with Google Translate to allow you to comment in 10 different languages in one conversation about the World Cup. If you go to worldhaveyoursay.com, you can find out all of the details. Of course, English is one of them. We'll hear from Krupa with a couple more messages, and then I'll tell you the other nine as well.
We've had a few messages in Spanish. Jacinto's in Panama and writes, we want more places for America in the World Cup in Brazil. And Ceci's in Venezuela and writes, Pal the Octopus is the only one that deserves to get paid.
I think the trouble is he probably deserves to be eaten more than get paid, which doesn't bode well for him. If you speak English, Albanian, Arabic, Chinese, Persian, Portuguese, Spanish, Swahili, Vietnamese or Welsh, you can get involved in today's conversation. As I said, all details through worldhaveyoursay.com. All right, let's bring in someone who's regularly contributed to World Cup Have Your Say over the past month, Colin Udoh, editor of kickoffnigeria.com. He's live with us from Durban. Colin, if you had to pick out one issue that had a real impact on you during this World Cup, what would it be?
That's a tough one to call. But you know, it's difficult, huh? Something that's had a real impact, I think, would be the way the South Africans have really come together to support all the African teams. You know, as someone who is from a country where football rivalry is really, really big, it's I think it's really it was amazing to see the groundswell of support every team whenever they went into the stadium, and those vuvuzelas. they almost burned a hole in my ears.
Yeah, I know. I only had it for 3 weeks and I'm still recovering. But Colin, I mean, South Africa obviously has a delicate relationship with some other African countries after the xenophobic attacks of 18 months ago or so. Do you think this World Cup will have gone some way to repairing that damage?
You know, I wish I could say yes. Unfortunately, I think the answer to that is no. I've been reading the papers over the past week or so, and, you know, I think I saw something in the Cape Times, and then in also the Cape Times here, and then the Argus, where, you know, some Zimbabwe citizens were saying, look, they had to run home because they were being told that, you know, after the World Cup, you know, all those things are going to come back again, and they're trying to find their way home. So, one would have expected that, you know, with the World Cup, things like this would have been solved, but it only seems to have become sort of a bit more intense. The other day I read about a Zimbabwean who was thrown out of a train, you know, so things like that. That's one of the things that saddens me, really.
So you're talking, it's interesting that you're talking about the effect this is having on South Africa. Victor, do you think if you were to win on Sunday, it would change your country, or it would just be a great party?
I think it'd more likely be a great party, really. Even though Spain's going through a tough time as well economically, I mean, in that way it could bring up, you know, you'd have a couple of good 2 weeks and so, but I think it'd go back to normal, but it'd affect it for the fact of our history never having won it.
Yeah, sure enough. Okay, we're going to carry on talking about this after the news. Erica Varikova's just sat down opposite me in the World Have Your Say studio. Nice to see you, Erica.
Yes,
we've spoken to you a few times. Nice to put a face to the voice. We'll here talk to you and your views on the tournament after the news. And if you're listening and want to call up and speak to us about any element of the World Cup, it's country code 44 2070 83 72 72. If you'd rather not make an international call, email worldhaveyoursay@bbc.com, put your phone number and one of the team will get back to you. And don't forget, if you don't speak English, you've got 9 other languages you can get involved in as well. Full details at worldhaveyoursay.com.
There's more information about our forthcoming programme highlights on our website. To really whet your appetite, just pop along to bbcworldservice.com and click Coming Soon.